This is Dig and Swing, a volleyball podcast for everyday coaches. All right. Pat is my co-host today. Pat.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Pat, why don't you... He's going to be a common co-host, by the way, because I'm just going to use him as often as I can. Yes. He's pretty awesome. I met Pat when we were doing a coaching clinic in New Mexico. And after that, we became best friends for life. So I gave him a little heart necklace that has a little, you know, he has the one side, I have the other side. So
I still wear
it. I'm so excited. He does. I make sure he does. So Pat, why don't you give us a quick, who the heck are you and why should we listen to you?
I am a Northern Lights full-timer. I'm from Buffalo, New York, originally coached at a club, coached high school, coached homeschool in Buffalo. And about 3 years ago, I got the call to go coach at one of the top clubs in the country. So, of course, I said yes.
Packed my
little apartment up and moved 1,000 miles in 5 weeks. And basically got my butt kicked the entire first year and then got offered full time. And I am now the 17-2's head coach and the 15's lead. And it has been nothing short of incredible.
I have to admit, I am super, super jealous because I'm from the Midwest. So it's Midwest volleyball is a lot different than Southern Arizona volleyball. And if I had an opportunity to coach in the Midwest, I would take it in a heartbeat because you have some of the best athletes out there. And I would love to do that, but it's not
even that we have the best athletes, but also we have such an incredible culture. We have Hugh McCutcheon at the University of Minnesota as the head coach, and every little girl who, when she's 8 or 9, you know, when they start playing volleyball, sees Hugh as a deity on earth. And I mean, it's everyone's goal to go play Division I volleyball for Hugh McCutcheon and be a Golden Gopher. There's just so much that's built into being a volleyball player here in Minnesota in the junior level that I just don't know if it's like that everywhere. And it's really cool to see. I can't go to a college match without seeing 18, 20 of my kids from my program. When the national championships were here a year or two ago, I mean, just even walking around the AVCA convention, I was seeing our kids because they were all this, you know, the demo kids. So it's really cool to see the culture, and it's funny how culture builds athletes.
Okay. So what is some advice that you have for beginner coaches? Because this podcast it's not necessarily meant for beginner coaches, but it's, you know, advice that obviously can transcend any level.
I actually have a plan. You are not good enough to fly by the seat of your pants. And I think that is the number one thing for the younger coaches. And then once you think you're good enough to fly by the seat of your pants, you're still not good enough to fly by the seat of your pants. Everything we do should be planned or at least accounted for. The majority of us are getting paid. This is a job. Treat it professionally. It drives me nuts seeing a coach walk into the building and now they get in the volleyball mindset. And I get that.
That drives me nuts.
And I get that we have lives outside of the sport, but these kids look forward to that practice all day. Like, have the respect to plan for it. And right. I think when you respect your practice the way you should, it shows in the final product.
And when you're talking about planning, are you just talking about like a practice plan or a season plan? What kind of plan do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, for everything, I mean, going to a tournament, having like knowing your lineups, knowing your kids' numbers. So, I mean, at tournaments, at practice for the whole, you know, season long, just preparedness is important.
Yeah, I'd say some of my advice I think about like when I first started coaching and how terrible I was, but I had to like start somewhere, I guess, and kind of realize that this is not the best way of doing things. But don't necessarily coach the way you were coached, because that's what I did for the first few years of coaching. I didn't know any other way. And I thought, well, I turned out to be okay, so that
Well,
means it worked, right?
and that's the thing is, you're gonna do it wrong. No matter how right you think you are, inevitably, whatever you're doing as a new coach, you will find out years later is the dumbest thing you could possibly be doing. But at the same time, like that's what growth is. So, like you have to help, have thick skin and kind of let it roll off your back.
Yeah, I think like you have to have some sort of starting point. And then you kind of like that's how I started. When I started doing that, I went to CAP, and that's when I go, wait a second, why am I doing it this way? Why am I making the kids pass back and forth 100 balls and then having them set 100 balls? Like, am I accomplishing anything? Am my kids getting any better? No. So how do I make them better? And I think that's I would say that's my number one pet peeve, is that people just kind of just coach the way they were coached. It drives me crazy. But I was also there, so I can't really say too much.
Well, I think you can say stuff because you've grown past it, though.
True, yeah. I also think that a lot of people think that winning is the most important part. It's a define, you know, it defines that you're successful. And for me, I look, and I think it also depends on the club that you're with and the type of kids that you get and what level you're at. I've been doing like our twos team for the last few years. I'd say maybe like 5 or 6 years now, which for us, we consider like not a national team, but not a region team. They're kind of like in the middle because they go to one out of state tournament. So for me, though, I still don't look at winning as a success. If the kids come back to the sport, I found myself like I did something right. Or if my one kid who could barely, like, didn't even know how to move her arms and feet at the same time and gets a stuff block by the end of the season, that's success for me. So I think that sometimes we just get caught up in winning right away and proving ourselves. But I think that for me, that's probably one of the most important things to get right away.
And I think it success and whatnot is measured by the scale you're trying to coach on.
Yeah, no, so my first year of taking a 14 and under team, so I vowed never to take 14s and younger, because I go, I don't have the patience for them. I want to coach at a high level. I want to be running plays. I want to be doing all this higher level stuff. So I only did high school kids. And a few years ago, I did 13s for the first time. So we had a 13-2 team. And we did a goals board at one of our tournaments, and some of our goals, and the kids were all about it. We had a giant dry erase board. It was huge. And one kid on the sideline was holding it. Another one had like the marker. And a couple of the things on there were jump and swing. And I even told him, I go, I don't even care if you completely air biff it and you miss the ball completely. Did you take an approach and jump and swing? Yes. And they got a little mark. And so they were trying to get like 20 jump and swings. You know, we did a couple of my kids towards the middle of the season had they had to attempt a jump float. And a lot of the kids were like terrified of doing it because they're so scared of making a mistake in the game. And I'm like, you're 13, you're gonna make a lot of mistakes and you're not gonna look very good until maybe the middle of the season. And even then it's like 13's good. So we did, you know, did you even make an attempt on it? Did you take a chance on it? I mean, that's how simple our goals were. And I remember one tournament, I think we took maybe second or third place. I mean, we didn't do that well because it was our first tournament, but we all took a picture with the goals board because we actually made all of our goals. And they were all like, we're so happy we made all of our goals. And it was the cutest thing. And that was when I realized, you know what? I think I actually like coaching this group, because this is the time where you could actually focus on this stuff and not really have all the pressure of winning. So
And I gotta back you up though. It's how you went about introducing it, because
Yeah.
you're talking, hey, we're gonna do this and we're gonna do that, and it's very positive and it's very how it's guiding, where I feel
Right.
like as a new coach, we see the Bobby Knights of the world throw a chair across the court, and there's the big coaching moments, ah, kind of thing, right? And I don't think that's appropriate for like anything.
All right, we're going to move on to my lightning round questions. I only have a couple of them right now. So, favorite volleyball coach?
Me. No. Pro or college or what?
Whatever. Whatever you want to give me.
I'm gonna go
One or two.
Steve Aird at University of Indiana. He is one of those people, when you get in a room with him, you just can't take your eyes off of him. He's such a huge presence, and he's so genuine in the way he speaks. Like it's
Favorite, oh, sorry.
he's just that kind of personality where like he could tell you, hey, could you make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And you're just gonna make the best PB&J you've ever made, because that's who he is. And then I'll go as a second, Kevin Cardoza, just because he's my buddy. He's at Virginia Tech.
That's awesome. Favorite moment for you as a coach?
There's a lot, but I will shout out my 17 twos when we qualified in region. It was a pretty cool, it was a grueling tournament. We played six matches in a day, and that's just never fun. And we had seven kids, eight kids. We had eight kids, two injured, and one of our setters was hitting middle, which is something you can do when it's like 13s or 14s, but at the 17s level, that's a you can't hide that. So it was pretty cool to see the kids problem solve on the fly, fix some stuff as we went throughout the day. We came up with some quick fixes, and they were just all about the game plan. And I mean, we were pooped by the end of that day, but it was really cool to see them win.
Best timeout motivational quote you've given.
Dude, I got nothing for that. I usually just say something stupid, get them giggling, get them back out there. Like nothing I've ever said comes to mind, but yeah, I mean, it kills me because I feel like, I mean, we've had some games where, we go up on an 8-0 run, the other coach calls a timeout, we trade points, and then we go on another 5-point run. And it's like, okay, scores, 13-4. They call another timeout, and I'm like, what do you guys want to talk about? Like, I got nothing. There's
I have totally done that.
we're up by a whole lot. Our game plan's working. Let's keep doing our game plan. We're awesome. Keep going and send it back out there. Like, I got, or if we're losing, it's like, all right, well, here was the game plan. We're not doing a whole lot of it right now.
Right.
like timeouts are so like, I don't know if it's something you're supposed to say as a coach, but like I just find timeouts like really silly half the time. Because it's just,
Absolutely.
I just feel like they're so self-evident, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm really bad about taking timeouts. I probably could be better about it, but usually I'll say like a dad joke, or I'll ask someone that's usually quieter that out of our group, like, hey, so you want to make some observations? And somebody will like, they'll say something because they're 14 and they'll say something really silly and goofy, like, well, Lauren did that thing where she tripped over someone else. And it's like, perfect. All right. That's the end of our timeout. Great. And yeah, I mean, you'll be surprised at how just the simple things like that will actually kind of work. All right. Most oddball outside the box thing you've ever done as a coach.
So when I was coaching at the Academe, the homeschool kids, we had a weird schedule my first year where we had almost 2 full weeks of practice before playoffs. Like we just happened to have a front-loaded schedule, And then they wanted us to have like X amount of days between the last game, regular season game, and the first playoff game. Why, I don't know. And I decided to do like a 12 practice, like big. We're gonna do a bunch of score drills and let's see who can score the most points through it. And we as a team had not been great with communicating, so I decided that every time you talk, your team gets a point. And it was the first team to 99 wins. And then we realized really quickly that the volleyball got really like much better when we started talking. And the kids are having more fun because the gym got loud. And it was pretty cool because like the teachers at that school would like walk by the gym and pop their head in because like suddenly there's like atmosphere when we were playing. So we called that game Ruckus because we were making a ruckus and posted it to VCT that night. And then it sounds like a whole bunch of teams have played this game in practice across the country now. And the coolest thing for me was when I came to Northern Lights 2 years later, one of the first practice plans I got handed during the first camp I coached, they wanted to run this drill. And I'm like, you know, I made that, right? And then every coach looked at me like, what? So that was a cool thing that a drill that I made it to a place that I was coaching before I got there.
That is really cool. Ruckus is quite the hit in the VCT group, which is Volleyball Coaches and Trainers on Facebook. It's very, very popular. I've done it and I've gotten like one of those little hand counter things to make it easier. So somebody else posted that, like, because it's really hard to keep track of two teams. And so we just, you know, as a coach, I go like, two, 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 two. So.
I assume you're talking about like a pitch counter for a baseball coach.
Yeah. Or they
Yeah.
do it like when they let people into a building or something. So,
Yes. And for those that
okay.
are wondering,
Oh.
it's Volleyball Coaches and Trainers on Facebook. It is a private group. Answer the questions. There are currently over 21,000 members. Pretty cool stuff.
All right. What is one thing you wish you could change about the sport, whether it's philosophical rules, ideas, something that's out there that people think is right?
I can't stand the teams that play not to lose. There's a decent amount of coaches who really work to have their kids not make errors and not take chances. And the way they try to win is death by a thousand paper cuts. And
That's a good way of looking at it.
I mean, I can appreciate great defense, but when a team just tips and rolls the entire match and doesn't take a swing, like I don't feel like you're going to get those kids recruited to any schools other than to be a libero. And let's face it, that's the easiest position to get recruited at. Sorry,
Hey now, hey now. Come on.
that's the easiest
Rude.
position to create, so it's the toughest to get recruited for. Because let's face it, there's more shorties than there are tallies in the world. So I don't think you're really helping kids in the defense first mindset because that's just not valuable at the next level.
What is one thing you wish you would have asked when you first started coaching?
Oh man, that's a good question.
Didn't you come up with this too? This
Yeah.
question? Oh,
I didn't think you'd use it on me.
come on.
I don't know if I would even known what to ask. I think I wish I would have been told how to use my personality the right way, because I feel like I think I treated my kids as equals from, 'cause I started coaching right out of high school. So my junior year varsity head coach got canned. They bring in this fellow, Mark Anzalone, who's a fantastic coach. We go winless my senior year, and I learned so much. Turns out that team was just garbage. We just did not have any talent on that team. The day I graduate from high school, I'm literally walking out of Klein Hans Music Hall, where we had the commencement speech or whatever you call that, the ceremony. And Mark calls my cell phone and says, "Hey Pat, congratulations, you graduated high school. I'm so happy for you. Also, you're my new assistant coach." And I go, "Okay." Because I loved him. He was my favorite coach I've ever had. And so I started coaching as a freshman in college under him. And it's hard being a year older than the seniors. It's hard. Like, I knew everyone. They were my peers. So I treated them like they were my peers because they were my peers. But because I have AC on my shirt, assistant coach, they're no longer my peers. So I had to kind of get through that. And then I started coaching club the next year on the girl side. And I had 13s. Like, they weren't my peers. I was 20, they were 13. But then I became almost too withdrawn. Like, I swung too far in the other direction. And then had a hard time connecting with them because I wanted to make sure they saw me as a head coach and not as a person, so to speak. So it took me till I was 25, 26, 27 to like really feel like really find the balance of, this is what you can joke about, this is what you can't, this is what you can talk about, and just like figuring out that like how to humanize yourself.
Right.
Because I feel like kids will play harder and play better and care more for someone who they know cares about them. And, that's what it's like. And it was a really hard thing for me to figure out how to use what I did best to best benefit them.
That is awesome. Well, we're going to wrap this up, and but Pat's going to be around a lot. So hopefully you guys get used to his beautiful voice that he has. He has a face made for radio. So here we are.
I have a beard made for gods, though.
That's very true. All right, signing out on this one. Thanks a lot, Pat. You're the best. I'll see
I'm the
you
second
soon.
best. You're the best.
Oh, you're so sweet. Okay, bye.
Toodles.